grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, how sweet is the sound. Sweetest song, sweetest song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the sweetest song I know. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, oh, how sweet the sound, sweetest song in this life ever been found. I've heard about a sweetest sound, my voice is white with white snow. What amazing grace, how sweet the sound, it's the sweetest song.
Story more precious.
A story more.
What?
By the river,
and place to go. And I think all of you know this, so we're going to sing the chorus again. Y'all going to help me. I'm so glad.
I got a better place to go. Wow. I got to share a story with you before Brother Keith comes. Brother Keith hasn't preached here before. And I want to share a story that I don't know if it helped me, hurt me, or whatever. Years and years ago, my father-in-law was a preacher, and we were on a broadcast, and we actually had it set up at the church. And so it would be on Sunday afternoon, and have regular singing and preaching, that type of thing. And he had heart surgery, and I want to think it was about two weeks prior. Now, I know what heart surgery is. I didn't know at the time, but he had heart surgery. And so he was going to preach on the broadcast. And he wasn't one of those speakers. He was one of them preachers, all right? And he told me before it started, he said, and he shouldn't have did this, but he did this. He said, if I can't handle it, you got to get up there. And now that he didn't have to do that. It scared me to death. Yeah, I mean, it literally scared. Now, it'd have been different if I'd start, but it scared me to death. The whole time I was praying, Lord, help him get through that. Lord, help him get through that. And you know, if it wasn't nobody else praying for that preacher, I was. And you know what? Brother Keith needs your prayer too. Because he's nervous as a cat because he ain't never preached here before. Whenever you haven't been in a location, you depend upon the Lord because you don't know the people. Now, he knows us by name, but that's a whole lot different from standing up behind here. Ain't that right, Brother Willard? It's a big difference. It's a big responsibility. So you pray, Brother Keith. You come on, brother. Don't worry. If you say you can't make it, I'm not going to fill in Willard as he's in charge.
Kind of having a grunt to get up there this afternoon. Brother Gray, you got that choir tuned up, as always. Fine tuned. Yeah, am I? Okay. If you don't care, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll start from there. Singing about going to heaven, singing about the rapture, and that's what I wanted to speak on tonight, is going to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Amen. There's nobody in here, I hope, that don't want to go to heaven. But we're going to have to wait. It's not our time yet. We'll know it when it comes. We may be walking around like we are today. We may be in a church service. We may be at home in bed. We may be having lunch or working or whatever. Whatever we do, that's what we might be doing. We don't know. We don't know. I think, was it last year, year before last, this some man said, Jesus is coming at a certain day. I think it was August 26th. I can't remember. But on August 26th, Jesus is coming. So I thought, well, heck, I ought to find out who this guy is. And the night before, go over there and get him to sign everything he owns over to me. Because it didn't happen, you know. So, but we don't know. But if you don't care, let's turn. I know I don't have much time. I know I don't have, you know, the time I was wanting, I don't have it. But let's go to, we got all night. Have we got all night? All right, let's go. Let's go. So 1 Corinthians 15. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9. I just want to tie this in somehow. I want to read. First, I want to pray, because I might fool around to get to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for the service this morning, the preaching this morning. And Father, I want to thank you for the choir. I think the choir is what brought my wife and myself here. Brother Tally is a great preacher, but we weren't used to the choir that we're accustomed to now. And Father, I just want to thank you for the choir. Because every week they sing songs about Jesus. They sing about coming, Jesus coming, and us going to heaven. But Father, I just want to thank you. Father, I love you. And Father, I pray that everything that I say and do will honor and glorify you. And Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So let's look here in Daniel chapter 9 for just a second. I just want to cover this. But in verse 24, chapter 9, verse 24. So 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now this was Gabriel that gave this to Daniel. And he was seeing that Jerusalem was in shambles. I mean, Jerusalem was down to the ground, you might say. But he gave this edict to rebuild. Didn't talk nothing about the temple. Didn't say nothing about the temple. Just the walls and around it. And they we'll know that. I believe we know that 52 days is what all it took them to build a wall. But here we have 62 weeks here in verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So, so we know that that 7 weeks, 70 weeks, that's 490 years. All right? And we know, well, there's been these scholars, somebody a little smarter than I am, but they figured it out. They've got it figured out that 62 weeks, which would be 1 week of, well, 7 years shy of 483, yeah, but that it's going to be shy of that. So when Jesus came and was crucified in AD 33, that was 40, let's see, I got it wrote down here somewhere. Okay, 70 weeks of years, that's what it is. 70 times 7. It's 176,400 days. So 70 times 7, that's 490, minus 7, that's 483 years. So 483 years from the time of the edict, which Artaxerxes, the Persian king, the Bible says the Persian ruler, give the edict to go and build the city, the walls in the city around it, back was 444 B.C. All right, now you take that time, you take 183 years, 483 years, and they figured out that that was the time that Jesus came into the city on the donkey, borrowed donkey, and the people were laying palm branches. We call that Palm Sunday. They were laying palm branches in front of him, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." All right, just a few days later, about 5 days later, those same people that were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the King is here," they were shouting, "Crucifying, crucifying." Now, that just blows my mind. I can't comprehend how this week they were loving him, and four or five days later, they wanted him dead. Now, that just blows my mind. But it happened. It happened. The Bible said it happened. I believe this Bible to be the truth, the Word of God. And I believe that with all my heart. So taking that into account, they figured that up. And that was A.D. 33, the day that Jesus came riding into Jerusalem. And they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," laying palm branches and palm leaves in front of him. And then 5 days later, they wanted to crucify him. And old Pilate, he went through all these trials, kangaroo court, all these false trials, and just railroaded him into all of it. And then they had a chance to let him go. It was customary to turn a prisoner loose. And they had a man named Barabbas. Pilate, he didn't want to turn him over. See, it wasn't Romans that crucified him. It was his own people. It was the Jews. It was the Jewish people. Sadducees and Pharisees. They wanted him. They're the ones that wanted him died dead. But Pilate, he said, "Well, it's customary to offer to let a prisoner go for another prisoner." They wouldn't have no part of it. They kept hollering, "Turn Barabbas loose and crucify him, crucify him." And they did. And when they crucified Jesus, that ended that part of that edict. That, 483 years, that ended it. For right there, it didn't end it, it stopped it. It's a period of time that we're in right now. It's called the church. It's called the church age. And we have, we've been a church age since Pentecost. We know that they went ahead, they crucified Jesus, they took him, they beat him, they took a cat of nine tails, got a handle about that long, and then about 18 inches of leather straps on it, nine tails. They got gravel, rock, or probably pottery woven into those strings, the whip part of it. And they, I don't know how Jesus lived through that, but he did, barely. that cat of nine tails ripped his skin. He'd come around there and just take chunks of skin out, bleeding. I know he was bleeding, weak. And then they were down there when they stripped his clothes off. There was guys down there gambling for us, casting lots for his clothes. And he didn't have nothing. They stripped him down, put a crown of thorns on his head, bleeding from the head, bleeding from all over. And somebody had to help him get to the cross. He couldn't make it. He couldn't carry his own cross to Golgotha. But that's sad, but it's true. That is, man. But he hung on that cross. Not a word. And after he hung on there at 3 o'clock in the evening, he died. He died on the cross. And he was buried. He took and buried him in a borrowed grave. And 3 days later, he came out of that grave. God brought him out. And that's our hope. Paul tells the Thessalonians that some of them that have no hope. And let me read that exact. 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have no sorrow. We shouldn't have any sorrow. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be sorry. You ought to have sorrow. You will have sorrow when the time comes. You will have sorrow. But that brings me to, we've sang about tonight the rapture, and that's what I really want to talk about is the rapture. That's what I want to talk about. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to start reading at 35, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And that was the problem. That's why one of the reasons why Paul wrote to these Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. They, in the Old Testament, you can read all about the resurrection in the Old Testament in several places. That wasn't nothing new. But for a man to be raised up in this day, that was something that they never had heard of. Some man will say, how are the dead raised up here in 35? And with what body do they come? In verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, made alive, that's what that means, made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So, I don't know whether all of us planted a garden. We planted one, but it's about that high in weeds right now, but we planted a garden. And we planted corn, and corn came up. We planted purple hull peas, and purple hull peas come up. Planted okra come up. So in that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. We didn't sow the plants. We sowed the seed. It wasn't the plant. The seed is what we sowed. It was bare grain. But here in 38, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So every seed we plant, God, people think it's just haphazard. We go out there and plant and grow a garden, but that's God's work. Everything that we do, that's God's work. we don't have control of anything. It's God. Even me standing up right here. Hey, I give it to God. That's God. This is God's work. It's not mine. Hey, if it was me, I'd be at house watching one of them old car shows or something. Or maybe one of them old 2020 shows or something. That's where I'd be if it's me. But it's not. It's not me. It's, you know, I had to give all that to God in order for me to stand right here and preach or teach. I've got to give it to God. But let's go on. 39, all flesh is not the same. It's not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. So, and just like us, we've got flesh. We've all got flesh. Birds have flesh, fish, dogs, cats. They've all, you know, everybody's got flesh of some sort. But it's not the same, but it's flesh. That's where everything comes together at. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, another of birds. And then verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. They're different. And there is 41, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. You know, there's the sun is what's shining, and it shines on all the stars. The stars don't shine on their own. The moon, it doesn't shine on its own. It's the sun that reflects off the moon and off the stars. You don't see stars in the daytime. You don't see, you do see the moon when it's way out there. You can see it, but it's reflecting the sun. And that's what we should be doing. We should be reflecting the sun of God, the S-O-N. So here in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. So, you know, we've all got family that has died and they're buried in different cemeteries. You know, my mother, my daddy, I've got a bunch of uncles. I've got one uncle and one aunt that's still living, but on different sides of the family, but all the rest of them are dead and gone. But there's going to be a resurrection someday of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be in this category. This body is corruptible. You know, we can't get to heaven in these bodies. There's no way we can go to heaven. Even if we used to clean ourselves up. I took a shower before I come out here tonight. Took one this morning before I came. But that's not going to, I won't get it. That's not clean enough. You got to be clean. You got to be uncorruptible. You got to be uncorruptible. You got to be clean. And there's only one person that can do that, and that's Jesus. So it's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, it's sown in weakness and raised in power. It's sown a natural body. Here we go. It's sown a natural body. We are buried natural bodies. There's nothing, you know, when we die, we're going to be sown in this body. We're not going to have another body. This is it. This is the only body we got. So, it's going to be raised a spiritual body. Ain't that something? Amen. So it's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. These are natural bodies when we're raised, when we're resurrected from the dead. That's going to be a spiritual body. We're going to be raised spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man was made a quickening spirit. He was made a living spirit. And 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. What he said is, why is it not first spiritual and then natural? And then afterward that which is spiritual. In verse 47, it answers that question. The first man is of the earth, earthy. And we are earthy, men and women, we are earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The second man is Jesus Christ. He's come spiritual. The first man is Lord from heaven. As in the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, that's us right here tonight, standing there tonight. I'm standing here, y'all sitting out there. We're all earthy. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Isn't that something? We're going to bear the image of Jesus someday. When the time is right, we will bear the image of Jesus. I think that's what keeps me going. I think that's what keeps me reading my Bible. And when somebody asks me to preach, I say, yes, I'll preach. That's what keeps me going. You know, because let me just, what time we got? Have I got time for this?
Here you go.
I got a good bunch here. Let me just tell you about me. Excuse me. But there was a time in my life, just like everybody in here, I was lost. But, you know, I was raised in church, but I would go to church, and then when I got on up in my teen years, I always loved good preaching. I always loved a sermon. But I got on up into my teen years, and I'd hear that preacher preach, and then I always have an altar call, just like every church I've been in. At the end of the sermon, it's going to be an altar call. And they start that singing. And my knuckles would grab that pew like this right here, sweating. My knuckles turned white. And I just couldn't step out. Knowing I needed to step out. Knowing I needed to save. Knowing I was lost and going to hell. I knew that. That was when I was a kind of a middle teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old. So I quit going to church. I got my driver's license. I got my own thing going. I quit going to church. And I didn't go to church for a long, long time. Debbie took the kids to church. Come on, go to church. No, I ain't going to church. So we moved out to Danville. We moved out to Pumpkin Center. Everybody's heard about Pumpkin Center. But we moved out there. And Debbie started going to Danville Baptist Church, the old church down across the road from the post office. They're on 36. And I was working every other weekend and every other Sunday. She kept wanting me, go to church. I had all three of my kids were born. Amy, she was about two maybe. She was standing up in the pew right beside me when I finally started going. But finally I went to church. And every other Sunday I would go. And I don't know how many Sundays I went, but old Brother Jack, you know, I thought I'd tell you about Brother Jack the other night. He was Jack Bailey, that's him. But every Sunday, I thought, that dude, Debbie's done been talking to him. Debbie's been telling him about me. Because every Sunday that I went, he was preaching to me. Every Sunday. And I don't have many Sundays I went through that. Instead of quitting, I'd go. But same old thing. I stand there just grabbing that back of that pew in front of me just as hard as I could get a hold of it. Finally, one day I stepped out. And that was the most important day, the best day of my life. Because, you know, people get killed in car wrecks. They get killed at work. There's you know, I was in 1987. I was like 32 years old. But, you know, people get killed. And I was, you know, I was drinking. Let me tell y'all. I was not my, there's three different sins that I was serious about, and that was smoking pot, drinking my beer, and the other sin was not going to church, not believing the unforgiven sin, the sin that Jesus will not forgive you of, and that's rejecting Him. I was rejecting Him. That's the three sins. Of course, there was other sins, but those were the three major sins in my life. I was a pothead. I was a drunk. And I didn't, and I wouldn't accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But when I did accept Jesus, I was saved, and I knew that I had turned my life around. And I did. I turned my life around. You know, there's been some bumps in the road since, but hey, you know, I know that I'm saved. I know, and you can know that you're saved. If you're not saved, if you have any question, I was talking to a guy at work one day, asked him if he's saved. He said, "I hope so." I said, "Well, look, you can't hope so. You got to know so." You know, Adrian Rogers, he said, it's not a think so, maybe so, hope so. It's a know so. You got to know that you're saved. And you can know that you're saved by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right? Isn't that right? Let's go on. I forgot where I was at. Let's go to 50. Our 49, as we are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've heard that, you know, all our church life. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We can't get to heaven like this right here. We can't get to heaven like this. Said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." That's the ones that's buried. That's our loved ones. That's dead. They're in the grave. They done, you know, it's a ugly picture, but they're just dust now. There's nothing there but dust now. They can't come right out of the grave like they are and get to heaven. That's what the question was back here. But some man will say, how are the dead raised? And what body do they come? How does that happen? What's the process? But here in 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." You know, we may not all die. We're all looking for Jesus in that cloud. He's not going to come touch the earth. He's going to come in a cloud. The trumpet's going to shout. Let's turn back. I'm sorry. Let's go back over here to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Paul explains it here to the Thessalonians real well. Let's start back up here at 13. "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." God's going to bring them with Him. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we," Paul thought, Paul thinks he's going to be alive, thought he's going to be alive when Jesus comes. And he was ready, but we need to be ready. We need to think that same thing. We need to think that Jesus is on his way right now. So, in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," not proceed, that word means proceed, "shall not proceed them which are asleep." We're not going first. All of us, the dead is going to rise first. Then we will rise after them. We're not going to precede them. We're not going first. Here's what we're waiting on right here. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." We're going to meet them in the air. Isn't that great? We're going to meet them in the air. All of our friends and family and loved ones that's gone on ahead of us, we're going to meet them in the air. Wow. Y'all know, man. Then verse 18. I might as well go ahead and finish this out. Verse 18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That's our job. We're to comfort one another with these words. You know, sometimes you might get down. Something's not going good, but we're to comfort one another. Know that Jesus is coming to get us. And let's get back to 1 Corinthians 15. I think I quit it. I think I read 52. 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So the corruptible, that's the folks that's in the grave. They're corruptible. They've got to put on incorruption, and they don't have to do nothing. God's going to take care of it. God will take care of that. And this mortal, which is this mortal body right here, all y'all's mortal bodies, all of them I see, y'all see me, mortal body, must put on immortality. We can't do that. God's going to do it. God will do it. We have to understand that God's in control. God's in control of everything in this world. And we need to turn our lives over to him. You know, we can't hold back. Sometimes I get to where I don't really want to do what the Lord tells me. But you have to do it. You have to do what the Lord tells you. You have to keep your word, keep your mind in the word, read and study and pray, and that helps. Because there's so much corruption out there. There's so much stuff going on. We were talking about it this morning. And man, this world's going crazy. When I was a kid, I don't remember all this. But now, every time you turn the TV on, somebody's murdered somebody. Huntsville, Decatur, Athens, Florence, Muscle Shoals, all over in there. And it's crazy. People have done gone crazy. And I know why. Y'all know why. They don't come to church. They're not in their Bible. They have no regard for human life. They have no regard for God himself. So that's the problem. Plus, they don't have mamas and daddies to wear the hind end out when they do something wrong. You know, that's got something to do with it, too. You know, I was told I was too rough on my kids, but hey, if I had to do it over again, I'd do it the same way. Wear them out. If they're wrong, wear them out. That's what my daddy done me. We go round and round. He wore them pants, wore that little thin belt like that. He'd undo it, and he'd go, and that's what it sounded like. And then we'd go round and around. That's what it's going to take. But So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. And if you're here tonight and saved, death has done been swallowed up in victory. We're not afraid of death. Come on, Brent, you know, kind of looking forward to death. Because I've been thinking about heaven a lot in the last few months. Really, the last few years. I've been thinking about heaven. Because I'm getting old and, you know, knees hurt all over, you know. But death is swallowed up in victory. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be victory. Victory in Jesus. Oh, death, where is thy sting? There's no sting. There's no sting for the one that loves Jesus and believes that he died on that cross for us. There's no sting there. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The victory is Jesus. We're not going to be in that grave. But these bodies are going to be buried in that grave. But we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be up there with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And if it wasn't any sin, there wouldn't be any death. And that's the way it's going to be. And the sweet by and by, we sung about it tonight, in glory, in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. There's no death in heaven. And the strength of sin is the law. We talk about the law, Ten Commandments. That won't save us. The law won't save us. It shows us our faults. It convicts us. That's what the law does. It convicts us. There's no salvation in there. The strength of sin is the law. It shows us our sins. Verse 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Victory in Jesus. Verse 58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything we do for the Lord, we can take it to the bank. We can take it to the bank because that's what's keeping us alive right now. That's what's keeping us together right now is the Lord. You know, anybody in here probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. No one in here would be here if it wasn't for Jesus. And he saved us all. But if there's somebody here that hadn't been saved, if there's somebody that hadn't been saved, that hadn't come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, now's the time to do it. Because we're talking about heaven here. There's another place that I didn't mention, and that's hell. Now, you're either going to be in heaven or hell. You can make that choice. You ain't got to go to hell. You can make that choice. That choice is yours to make before you die. If you die without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, going to hell. Automatic. There's no backing out. There's no begging. You know, the rich man and Lazarus, you know that story. Lazarus, he was up in the heaven in Abraham's bosom. The rich man was down there in heaven. He called up there, Lazarus, Abraham, send Lazarus down here. And just all I want is a tip of just a drop of water on the tip of his finger on my tongue. Can you imagine how hot that is? But hell's no place to be. But if you don't know Jesus, that's where you're going. Brother Greg, can we sing a song? 3, 2, 3. While you get ready, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all the many blessings. Father, thank you for the sermon this morning on blessings. in that cup. Father, I pray that I can put, that you can put blessings in my cup. And Father, I know that we just can't go get them. We've got to be right with you. And we just can't buy them. We can't barter for them. It's a free gift. Mercy and grace. Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to come in and to stand in this pulpit and preaching your word. Father, I just pray that there's somebody here right now that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would make it right now. They say that this could be your last chance. It could be. Father, I want to thank you. I love you. Father, I pray that everything I say and do will honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.